being teachable requires humility. It requires understanding that you're wrong about things. You don't know things. But I'm going to tell you, there's two big things that keep us from being this teachable on that level. Number one is admitting that we don't know something. And when we admit we don't know something, it makes us look weak, it makes us feel weak, and it might even make us look dumb. And men, this is especially hard for us because so much of our identity is tied to respect. We believe that if we don't know something, someone might lose respect for us. So it's tough to admit that we're wrong. And then secondly, we don't like admitting anything that contradicts what we believe we already know. We don't like learning anything that doesn't correspond or affirm something we already believe. Did you know that studies on brainwave activity show that we don't like to encode any new information, especially information that contradicts what we already believe? So when watching brainwaves in this particular part of the brain, I won't even tell you what it is because you're not going to remember it, it doesn't matter. Here's what happens when you are arguing with someone about values and you disagree about a value, there is no brainwave activity in this area. But when you are talking to someone and you are agreeing on values, there is brainwave activity. That has shown doctors, clinicians, psychologists, and psychiatrists that our brains do not want to encode. It doesn't want to activate and begin to write down any new information that contradicts what we already believe. And so that's a great way to continue being wrong about a lot of things, is we just decide we don't want to learn anything new. There's a great story in the book of Acts. There's a man named Philip. Now, there was a disciple named Philip. This Philip in the book of Acts is not the same guy. He's considered, they call him Philip the Evangelist because he loved to go tell people the good news. Philip, there's a great story. I'm not going to read the whole story to you. I'll summarize it and then you can read that later, but here's what happens in this particular story. Philip is called by God. God tells him, I want you to get up and you're going to go from Jerusalem on the road to Gaza. I want you to move along that road and God's going to put him in the path of somebody. And as he does, he gets up and he goes and he runs into this eunuch who is an officer for the queen of Ethiopia. So this eunuch is a high-ranking officer. He's parked on the side of the road. His driver is just sitting there, the driver of his chariot. And this eunuch is reading from the prophet's book, from Isaiah's book, and he's reading his writings. And he's reading them out loud, and he's pondering these, and he's musing out loud the teachings of Isaiah. Philip overhears him and runs to him and he asks this question. He says, do you understand what you're reading? And the response of this officer, the response of this treasury of the secretary, this man that was responsible for controlling the entire wealth of the country of Ethiopia for the queen of Ethiopia, he says something that I find absolutely fascinating that should inspire every one of us. He says, how am I going to understand it unless someone explains it to me? How will I learn unless someone teaches me? And from that moment on, Philip begins to tell him, starting with that writing, starting with the verses that he happened to be reading out loud, he begins to say, this is about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He tells him the good news of what God has done for him. Philip begins to travel with him for a short distance, and the eunuch asked him the question, what would stop me from being baptized? And he said, nothing if you believe on Jesus. And the eunuch says this, and it's not in your notes, but in Acts 8, he says, the eunuch said this, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then the eunuch, commanded the chariot to stop. Both Philip and the officer went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Let me tell you why that's so important. Because number one, Philip listened to the voice of God to encounter somebody who was seeking after God. And the important part of this story is what we're going to talk about today, that this man's life was changed because he was willing to say, I don't know something that's important for me to know. And when he invited that question, he says, how am I supposed to learn anything if someone's not going to explain it to me? It transformed and changed his life, and he found his purpose and meaning and destiny in his Creator by asking that question. I want to learn more. How can I learn more? So I want you to hear the most important thing about that is that you have to believe that God is putting people in your path, just like he put someone in the eunuch's path, he's putting a Philip in your path to encounter you. If you'll just say, I want to know more, who will teach me more? And be willing to accept the messenger of God, whoever that might be. So if you don't already have your notes, grab them. We're going to go through this together. One of my Father's Day gifts to you will be, I'm going to try and nail this down in 19 minutes. God puts people in my path to teach me that, number one, I'm not done being wrong. Norman Vincent Peale said this, and I love it. The trouble with most of us is we'd rather be ruined by praise than saved by criticism. None of us like to be, I don't like to be told I'm wrong. I especially don't like to be shown I'm wrong. I don't like somebody doing it to me, to revealing that I'm wrong about something. None of us really do. We don't like being told. And we especially don't like it from somebody we don't think has the right or the qualifications to tell us we're wrong. Someone that disagrees with us politically, or somebody that happens to be an atheist or mocks our faith, or people that we don't think have the right to speak that into our lives. We especially don't like hearing from them. Let's be honest, there are people that we go, there's a few people I would let tell me I'm wrong, and they all have to be smarter than me, right? They have to be kinder than me and humbler than me, and they have to be, we have a resume for people that will teach us that we're wrong. But I want you to hear this. If you're wrong, you're just wrong. And it doesn't matter who shows you that you're wrong. And God might have picked the absolute worst person in your mind to show you that you're wrong. But he puts those people there to contradict us, to challenge us, to call out our way of thinking, our belief system, our worldview. The question we shouldn't be asking is, do you have the right or the qualifications to criticize what I know or what I believe or what I think? The better question is this: am I willing to admit that I'm wrong no matter who points that out to me? Listen to what Proverbs 13:8 says. If you ignore criticism, you'll end in poverty and disgrace, but if you accept correction, you will be honored. The pathway to being elevated is learning that you're wrong, accepting that you're wrong. Proverbs 12:1 goes even further. I'll get that right. Anyone who loves correction, loves knowledge. Anyone who hates to be corrected is stupid. I love when the Bible calls us stupid. It's like the Bible can get away with it, right? But anyone who loves correction loves knowledge. None of us want to be dumb. None of us want to be ignorant. None of us want to be stupid. The pathway to moving away from dumb, stupid, and ignorant is the humility, the path that it takes us to recognizing that we're wrong and we have to be corrected, or else we'll continue believing that we're right. Number two is this: God puts people in my path to teach me that I still have a lot to learn. So listen, it's not enough just to recognize, it's important that we recognize that we're wrong, but it's more important that we recognize that we have to replace the wrong knowledge with the right knowledge. Let me illustrate for a second. You can believe in God, but believe the wrong things about who God is. You got one thing right, but you got some very other important things wrong, right? I believe in God, but I believe he's distant and doesn't want a personal relationship with me. Well, it's awesome that you believe in God, but you're wrong about the other part. And in Christianity, we've made an art and science of being wrong about a lot of things about God. God has written an entire book and revealed it to us so that we can know his nature and how complicated and messy we can make our relationship with him. We get this giant manual to help us be right about God, and yet we're still wrong about God. We don't have that manual for marriage, for parenting, for friendships, for politics, for money, for anything else. So we are going to be wrong an awful lot, but that doesn't mean we can't learn better things and new things all the time. First, I have a lot to learn about myself. Listen to what it says in Psalms 139, 23, and 24. Explore me, O God, and know the real me. Dig deeply and discover who I am. Put me to the test and watch how I handle the strain. Woo. You know what I say? It's like life is the pressure on a tube of toothpaste. We are that tube. And you hope toothpaste comes out. But it's not always toothpaste, is it? You hope that you know what's inside of you. But here he's praying, put me to the test, squeeze me and let my character come out. Examine me to see if there's an evil bone in me. Other translations say, point out everything that's wrong with me and guide me down your path forever. Do you know why this verse is here? Because you and I don't know ourselves. We don't know ourselves. We hide things from ourselves. We hide things from other people. And that is an amazing prayer that God would reveal us to us. There's a ton you need to find out about yourself. Some of it you're going to be happy to find out, and other stuff you're going to be embarrassed to find out, and you're going to want to begin to work quickly on changing that. Secondly, you have a lot to learn about others. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Listen, you can't possibly be of one mind if you don't know the minds of other people. If you don't know people and what their struggles are and what their difficulties are and what their challenges are and what their story is, then you can't possibly sympathize with each other, can you? And be tender-hearted and humble attitude means that you have to get up into people's business and see that there are things about them that challenge you in the way you respond to them. And that's why humility comes into it and tenderheartedness, because there are going to be people that challenge that in you. But you can't be challenged in any of that if you don't know anyone. So there's a ton we have to learn about each other, and there's a ton we have to learn from others. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 18:2. Fools don't want to learn from others. They only want to tell their own ideas. Can I tell you what that looks like? That's when someone is talking and you can't wait for them to shut up so you can start talking. That's what a fool does. I'm not listening to you. I'm not hearing you. I'm not processing. I don't want to really know any more about you, where that idea comes from, why you've landed on that belief. All I want to do is tell you you're wrong, and here's why I'm right. And then Romans 12:16 says it like this. Don't be proud. Don't think of yourself as smarter than everyone else. I don't know that any of us would say that out loud. I think I'm smarter than everyone else. We just talk to people like we're smarter than them. We talk about people like we're smarter than them. If you don't believe me, listen to the way someone talks the moment they see a picture of Joe Biden or a picture of Donald Trump. Depending on where they land, they will immediately begin to say insulting, degrading things about that person. Because we believe that we're smarter than people. I mean, we're smarter than the former president. We're smarter than the current president. And you're sitting there going, oh, we are. Maybe. But I promise you this. In this room, you are not even close to being the smartest person. Someone in here is smarter about something, about a life experience, about way, way, way smarter about that thing than you. So every one of us can learn from each other. We still have a lot to learn from God. Listen to what Psalm 25:9 says. He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way. Can I tell you this? That you will never truly know, oh God, I just want to know you more. God, I just want to do the things that you want me to do. God, I just want to follow you. Can I just tell you that you have to then take on the posture that Jesus had when he walked the earth, which is the Bible said that he didn't consider himself better than anyone. He humbled himself. He knew he was God, yet he subjected himself and became the servant of men, not one who would be served by men. So you have to approach everyone with the same perspective that God approached humanity. And that's with humility. And that is the space and the place in which God will use you and teach you. And then third and finally is this. God puts people in my path to teach me that I will be tested on how much I really know. On how much I really know. So do you remember that kid in class who on Monday was the one who was completely shocked that there was a test? Everyone else had studied all weekend long. Are you ready? Are you ready for the test? And you see the one kid like, what? There's a test today? Yeah, everybody was studying all weekend. What? I didn't know there was, she didn't announce that. Yes, she did, like Thursday and Friday. We actually did in-class prep on Wednesday, and we all went over the test together. You know who that kid was? That was me. When I was getting assessed last year for ADHD, they made me submit my report cards from kindergarten through eighth grade. Fortunately, my mom years ago had given those to me. I put them in with photo albums and stuff like that. I had never taken the time to look through those. It was humbling to look through those. Christopher is a joy to have in class. He's very respectful and well-liked, but he needs to work on paying attention. He needs to work on the work that's right in front of him. He needs to sit still. He needs to not talk out in class. He needs to stay on task. Every quarter, every grade, Christopher's wonderful. He needs to stop talking. He needs to stop distracting his classmates. He needs to stop. Da, da, da. And I was like, Your Honor, I'd like to submit Exhibit A for ADHD, please. Yep, I was that kid. Didn't know I was going to be test. When did they start doing that in school? So I'm here to tell you this. You are going to be tested on not only what you currently know, but whether you're willing to admit that you're wrong. Recognizing that you're wrong. Then you're going to be tested on whether or not you've learned to love getting corrected, because that's what Scripture tells us we have to do. We have to fall in love with getting corrected. We have to literally get up excited at the idea that we're going to get corrected today. Somebody's going to point out we're wrong. And instead of getting all weird and embarrassed, we're going to be like, dang, that was fun. I can't wait for somebody to point that out in the middle of a meeting tomorrow. And we have a lot more to learn about ourselves, others, and God. Not all the messengers that God uses are going to be the ones that you want. Let me see. There's Gavin. All right. I just want to let you know, I still have 7 minutes left and I am almost done. Don't clap because I'm almost done. It's Father's Day and my wedding anniversary. And now I only have 6 minutes and 20 seconds left because you just took up all. Listen, we would love to pick the messengers and the teachers that God puts in our life, but he really, I want you to hear this, because he's God, he knows exactly who to use to show you something about yourself that you're not really interested in learning. You're not really interested in discovering you're wrong. you're really only interested in people who will affirm that you're already right, or someone who will come along and do it in a way that you don't lose face and it doesn't challenge your pride and it doesn't introduce you to humility. But God's been known to use donkeys to say things to people in the Bible. God's been known to use a burning bush or a cloud. God's been known to use the wrong people to say the right things. The Bible says that God uses the stupid to confound the wise. So I want you to know that there's a lot left for you and I to learn about ourselves, about really whether or not we know what humility truly looks like, and whether we're truly trying to push the kingdom of God or the kingdom of man, whether we really want to know whether we're wrong about something, or do we just prefer to hang out in a space? You see, pride doesn't hate being wrong. Pride loves being wrong. It protects being wrong. It guards being wrong. Pride celebrates being wrong and never changing. Humility loves to be wrong. Humility loves to go, I didn't know that. You know what? I've got to think through this because I truly believe this, but I feel like the Spirit of God's working through you to challenge that way of thinking for me. I may not resolve this in this conversation, but I've got some growing and learning to do. And I want you to hear what James 3:13 says. I just learned English this week, and so still. If you are wise and understand God's ways, if you've grown, listen, if your knowledge has produced life change and you truly understand God's way, then prove it. This is the test. This is where you have to prove it, by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. That's it. Sorry. That's a little symbol, by the way, I use to know if I'm done with that scripture, just so that when you see that, you'll know that that scripture is done. So here it is. God uses your life as the test, as the litmus, as the evidence by which to judge whether you've learned anything at all or whether you continue to just be wrong, and that you celebrate being wrong, and that you embrace being wrong, and that you're fine being wrong. Because here's what that scripture just said. If you are truly learning, if you're truly growing, if you're truly embracing wisdom, if you're truly growing up in your knowledge, if you're truly willing to admit you're wrong, and that you'll change that by learning something new and replacing the wrong thought with the right thought, then prove it by the way you live your life. Start changing the way you talk to people, the way you think about people, the way you act towards people, the way you posture your life when you walk into a room and you engage with strangers or those who you know best. With the way that you approach Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, the way that you engage with the news, the way that you engage with politics, prove that you get it. That you are wrong about everything. You're wrong about your marriage. You're wrong about your kids. You're wrong about God. You're wrong about the Bible. You're wrong about literally everything on some level. Do you get that? You're literally wrong about everything. Listen, there is nothing that you know 100% with certainty, that there isn't more God wants to teach you, and there isn't more that God won't put people in your life to challenge the way you think on something, to grow you up in your wisdom and knowledge of the heart and the mind of God. You and I are wrong all the time. The question is whether we want to stay wrong or whether we want to be teachable. As for me, I got to tell you, I want it, but man, I really genuinely don't want it. Because being told I'm wrong and being shown I'm wrong, especially by the wrong people, it is so brutally hard on my pride. As hard as that is, I'm more interested in being right, though. I'm more interested in growing. I'm more interested in learning, and I'm more interested in walking in wisdom. I've had some times recently where I've mourned my lost years. Years where I was so absolutely certain about myself, so certain I was doing it right as a dad, so certain I was doing it right as a husband, so certain I was doing it right as a follower of Christ. And I look back on that right now and I'm brokenhearted because I lost all those years to truly grow up. I don't know how many I have left. I'd love to believe a long, long time, but there's honestly no guarantee I get to go home today. So in the time that I have, I genuinely want to learn. And if I'm wrong, I want to seize that moment, recognize I'm wrong, and grow immediately. I don't want to waste any more time being wrong, seeing you the wrong way, believing the wrong things about God, believing the wrong things about God's creation. I'm ready to change. And I want to encourage you, if you're young, walk in humility now. You literally don't know anything. And I hate to tell you this, by the time you're my age, you'll know barely more than you knew back then. And what you do know will all be wrong. So start now in the path of humility before God. And if you're old, I mean, I'm not old, but I'm saying if you're old, you'll have to tell me what that's like, but I'll learn from that. If you're, man, seriously though, if you're farther along in life, just, I'm telling you, change now. It's not too late. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, I'm asking for this entire room to be ready to respond to you in just a second. But first, cover us in a blanket of humility. Let it weigh on us. Let it push out the thoughts in our minds of pride that say, this is not for you. He's not talking to you. This is not about you. You don't have anything big that you need to change in your life. You know everything you need to know. Or you at least know as much as you really need to know. Nobody's going to be perfect in their knowledge, but you've got it pretty well together. God, push those kind of thoughts out because they just stand in the way of us growing up, growing wiser, and learning from you, learning more about you, learning about ourselves, about others, from others. My prayer is this, that we would just right now recognize how wonderful it is to find out we're wrong, because that's the moment that we can change that and become right. If that's you and that's your journey that you want to start this week in your marriage, in your parenting, in your finances, in everything that you do and everything that you are, would you just poke a hand up, say, yeah, that's me. Yep, everywhere. Father, thank you for this path you're taking us on, this walk of humility. It's awkward and it's messy and it doesn't feel good at times, and it gets and we push back. Our flesh doesn't want to go on this walk. This is like climbing a mountain and just everything in us hurts. And we want to turn around and go back down, but you're taking us to higher places in our marriages, in our finances, in our parenting, in our politics, in our relationships, in our mental and spiritual health. You want to take us there, and you're going to use some of the craziest messengers to get us there, but let our humility be the radar we use to invite correction into our life so that we can invite knowledge and wisdom. That's my prayer for me, and that's my prayer for every single person who raised their hand. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.